are y'all doing today? I think that the world is an amazing place. Got some of us all upset, not sure what to do, how to cope. Well, it's all how you interpret things, isn't it? We're part of a natural world. We're part of a holographic system. Perhaps we're the creators of our own reality. How do you cope with that? How do you really know what's going on? I don't, but I just try to follow the best routes I can find through the day. Do the best I can with what I have to work with. Honor myself. To do no harm. To understand that maybe my interpretation of life is not yours. And yours isn't mine. I learn a lot, not from people, but I learn from nature, the natural world. So instead of really following what's on TV or what people are trying to tell me I should do or should think, I go ahead and follow what the animals are doing or maybe learn from what the animals are doing. And by doing so, I have learned to go ahead and follow my truth. That is not necessarily always easy. So when you're not sure about what's going on, maybe stopping, taking a breath, being still, it's a good way of recentering yourself. It puts you in a place where instead of thinking all the time, it gets us to listen to our intuition, our instinct. And from that, we can get guidance, follow. Not necessarily the pre-constructed template of society, that money-driven stress, that violence, the nastiness that's going on that you can't control. Maybe it allows you to see a different perspective and change. Not only how you're interpreting life, but through changing your interpretation, you're changing life. You see, right now, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on that's kind of a mind trap in a way. You see, people want to run to the rescue. People need to be validated for their efforts. We need to be seen. We need to be recognized as part of the act, the drama, the stress. So when you get pulled into that, you lose connection with who you are. You get pulled into somebody else's event, somebody else's energy. And I don't know whether that's what we're supposed to be doing or not. See, nature teaches us a lot about life, and I don't know why we aren't listening. But if we would just stop and realize there's a difference between not acting and acting, not breathing and breathing, between being the victim, living the victim, and taking that victimization and projecting it into everything we do for the rest of our lives. Just because we stop breathing for 1 second at one of the most important points of our life. You see, when you're stressed or when you're threatened, we have the choice of going, pulling the air in, and stopping in that moment our thoughts, surrender, and move away from our heartfelt ability to interpret our environment and the actions of others. But if in that very moment of an event, you take a breath and you let it go, and you might take two or three more breaths, what that does is it actually pulls you inside. It gives your body the moment, the energy, the ability to connect. And when you breathe, put the air into the heart, your instincts will take over. And instead of being pulled in and becoming part of that drama, you can participate in the drama, but you are not controlled by that drama. That's the difference between an animal who, let's say it's a deer, and it's out grazing, and it puts its head up, hears something in the woods, takes a breath, and it holds still. And in that moment, the deer has the choice of taking the big breath of survival or holding its breath and staying still. Now, sometimes staying still allows the deer to survive, but inside his heart's pounding. The adrenaline's pumping, and it's all he can do to stay still in that moment. And maybe the wolf goes by and doesn't smell him. But if the wolf does smell the deer, in that moment of holding his breath and staying still, the deer made a commitment. He surrendered. And at this point, the wolf is too close to the deer. And now for the deer to survive, he's got to work twice as hard to run for his life. But in the primary moment when that deer heard or sensed the wolf, if he had taken two or three breaths and got his legs into gear, he would be in control of his fate. He would be free to outrun the wolf. Well, that's a parallel to how human experience emotionally is being manipulated right now. We're being asked to stop and listen to these terrible dramas in life. We're being asked to pay attention, feel sorry, commit your emotion, whether it's anger, sadness, personal pain. We're being asked to surrender our emotions, to become part of that drama, so the drama can take on a new life. It's time to take a breath. It's time to center ourselves and to understand that there is an action going on that we're not in control of, but we can control the actions around us. So take a breath. Remember, you're in control. And this is Ecologic Radio. Your host, Patricia Cleveland, and I'll be right back. the universe going on right now. Just stopping and taking a breath. Maybe going sitting outside or listening to some relaxing music will kind of pull you back together and give you a place to find your own truth. See, what's going on in the news? What's going on? Oh, I don't know, maybe in your community. People are using their emotions. They're throwing emotions all over the place. It's kind of like emotional pollution. I was attached to this tragic event. I'm a hero. I empowered somebody by saving them. I'm the victim. I'm the one that got hurt. You see, we all have different parts to play in this drama. Maybe you're the strategist. Maybe you're the person that's going to solve why people do what they do. Whatever your role is, the first thing you need to do is not fall into the emotional trap of surrendering who you are to that event. And if you participate emotionally in these things, do this. Instead of feeling negative emotions, anger, you want revenge. You want some logical explanation for the insanity of others. If you feel there's a place for sorrow, a place for reenacting some type of pain that you experienced, step back because you are falling into an emotional trap. Watch what happens with the drama on TV. It's going to mushroom. It's going to grow. And it's not going to be just the people that were directly involved with that event. It's going to become a whole community affair. And beyond that community affair, it's going to become a national affair. It will never disappear. Not that it should. But it shouldn't control the actions of the people around communities that are not directly involved. Yes, we can help. But there's a way of approaching this that allows you to stay complete emotionally and to be of service, to help others without feeding the emotional draining that's going on in the people, the environment, that are moving towards paying attention to the negative insanity of man. To move into these events, a really good thing to do is, number one, look at the word compassion, and you will hear me work with this word a lot because it puts us in a state of personal neutral. I can feel compassion for you. It doesn't mean to say I feel sorry for you. I can be here for you. I can support you. But I do not have to feel your sorrow. I do not have to feel I'm here if you wish to share that, because I will listen and I will support you. But I will not take on your sorrow. I will not take on your pain. As a person who is energetically aware, what I will do is I will allow that emotion, that energetic charge, to move down into the earth or up to a collective consciousness, or to disperse can recreate a healing moment for you. But I don't have to take your pain into my heart, because it doesn't belong there. If I take your pain into my heart, then I become an ineffective person. I become part of the problem instead of being outside of the problem and able to support. Another word you can look at is the word joy. You will go, what? There are some terrible things. There are people without limbs. There are children without parents. There's a lot of pain out there. And I dare to say the word joy. Take the word joy and pull it into your heart and mix it with your compassion. So that when you interact with people who are in pain, instead of approaching them with compassion of sadness, you approach them with the compassion of joy. And that, just say the word joy, it picks you up. Say the word sadness, slides you down. So when you're working with people who have no joy, they're attracted to joy. It pulls them up. It lifts their spirit. It touches them on an energetic level that will support maybe the energetic healing that they need so that they can physically become whole. Just joy. Mix it with your compassion. And then you're able to move through the heaviness, the concern, pain, the physical pain, the social disruption, all the stuff that goes on to try and trap our energy and pull us down into stress. Hold compassion and joy and reach out your hand to somebody that might need some help. Hold yourself in compassion and joy. And maybe there's nothing better you can do than just sit and be present. Maybe words aren't enough to help people that are really struggling right now. And you can use this system of breathing in and out, and socially rejecting neutral compassion and cold joy in your heart. And you become like this light bulb, a sparkler, focal point. And instead of being the person that has to be seen as the rescuer or the healer or the helper or the hero, you can become a spark of light. Of life, the empowerer, the person that stands still in the corner and changes the reality. That's a pretty powerful gift. Something I learned from nature. See, nature taught me that if I don't breathe, I can't physically drive my body. And if I don't breathe, I can't get the energy flow to stay positive. And if I can't stay positive, I become part of the emotional victimization that's going on. See, I live in a place where we've had a lot of that lately. No, I'm not in Boston. But that's another story I'll share with you in a minute. So, take a minute. And enjoy yourself. And I'll be right back with Ethologic Radio. best way to work, actually. It's compassion mixed with joy. It's just the best way to get through the day. And sometimes you run into people and they kind of got a grumpiness. Or I'll run into animals that are, our best way to express it is they've lost all confidence in interacting and trusting people. I can tell you a quick story that crossed my path the other day. I was asked to come in and work with a horse that a young girl had bought for $100. She was a very soft person. She's a very tender, caring, nurturing person. She proceeded to tell me all the stories about this horse. And as I went out to my truck to get my ropes, my cords, which I used to rebirth painful trauma locked in the animal's body, another person came up to me and said, "This person, this girl, has been told this story about abuse in this horse's life. And she doesn't understand. She doesn't let go of this animal's pain. She has to give the animal treats to catch it. And the animal, well, he doesn't have any confidence in her anymore." So I was then told I was supposed to go out in the hot sun, midday, and work on this horse's body. I'm like, that makes no sense. Because you see, right here is a barn, and there's shade, and there's a cool breeze coming from the west. It would be much more comfortable to work in the barn. So I walked out to where this girl was standing in the middle of the field holding her horse and explained to her that instead of holding on to all these stories that she had started to tell me, to stop and to hold the image of walking her horse into the barn and standing there and being comfortable with you and allowing me to basically unwind the pain in her horse's body. And she listened to me, and something inside of her changed because she did everything I asked her to do. She stopped thinking about the poor horse. And look at me, I'm the great white knight that saved this animal from the grasp of an evil man. Instead, she held the picture of, I'm going to walk into this barn, and you're going to walk in here with me, and everything is going to be great. She did. I walked away from them, she went into the barn, and that horse stood there. That horse stood there for an hour. I wrapped my soft cotton ropes around the body, retracing the birth contraction points. It's a three-dimensional physical map of the body. Now this horse, first time I put the ropes on, she held her breath. She blew out. She took another breath. And she made the conscious decision to feel who I was, to energetically acknowledge my intention, and surrender her fear, because it really wasn't her fear anymore. It was the owner's fear. The owner needed to have the story so that she could empower herself, because she didn't know how to manage this horse. With everything she did, the horse would react to her. And the horse would react to her because she didn't really have confidence. The girl didn't have confidence. So the horse and the girl didn't have a good relationship because of the emotional trap that not having compassion and joy, but just having, oh, the poor horse, oh, the poor me. That type of connection. So I did my job. Of course, surrendered to what I was asking it to do. Allowed me to remove some of the physical pain that had been imprinted by her life experience and also her birth experience. And when all was said and done, the horse actually became extremely happy, very joyful. And the girl, she learned that she could make a better relationship with her horse if she changed the way she was thinking. Sorry about that. I just bumped something and it's trying to fall down. Okay, there we go. So what happens when we work with these animals? How can we do better for ourselves? And the bottom line is this. If we're honest with who we are, if we understand that when people are weak or painful, they need to be comforted. But they don't need us to give ourselves away. The other thing is, we need to change the story. And I think that's where joy comes into play. You see, when you bring joy with you, you bring a new experience. You break the pattern of the poor me, the victim, the survivor. Oh my God, how do I deal with this physical pain? When you bring joy, even if it's one moment, one word, one experience that brings a sense of lightness or clarity, or maybe it just changes the way that person thinks. In that moment, you've had a huge impact. It might not take root right in front of you. It may take a day. It may take a week. But in that moment, guess what? You planted the seed for a positive reality to occur. And if more people would come into places of pain and trauma, stress, uncertainty, with a sense of compassion mixed with joy, all of those connections with joyful compassion will connect for that person, for that community. See, here, outside of where the community I live, in Alabama, we had a terrible thing happen about 2 months ago where a man got on a school bus and tried to kidnap some children because he was afraid. He was a survivor of being a soldier. His tools of social interaction were not healthy. And he didn't have anybody that would connect with him and share compassionate joy. And so he did something, he made a mistake, he was afraid of going to jail. And instead he thought he would get attention, maybe he would get help. So he went on to a school bus and he tried to commandeer the bus and take 6 children. And in his actions, he took the life of another man. And the community came together. And as a community, they had a choice. Compassion, sadness, or anger. Hold that thought, and we'll be right back with Lisa Logic Radio.
Thank you.
Sometimes it's not easy, is it? You know, we all need to come together. We might not necessarily agree on everything, but the first thing we should be able to recognize is that we have the ability to connect and use our positive energy, our positive experiences, to change the negative drama that's trying to overwhelm everything that we think, do, and interact with. Wow. Can you imagine being a little child on a bus with a man getting on it with a gun? Can you imagine being a bus driver and having the responsibility for the safety of those children? Can you imagine the man with the gun and how afraid he is? How much he needs to be recognized? And the only thing he knows to do is to project his pain, to transfer his negative emotion, to make more victims using his negative victimized experience. And so this is what happens. We have this negative experience. We have a person that society doesn't recognize, whether it's from prejudice or disagreement, or maybe we are afraid of the insanity or the anger. And we walk away because they are these types of people, they need a special recognition. And the way we generally in the population see these people is not from compassionate joy. It's usually from a position of judgment or control. And so these very frightened, damaged people have no place to go. They have no one to see them. There's no sharing of a positive potential for change. And they have to share their pain. They have to share their insanity. And that's how things amplify. That's how communities make a choice to come together and celebrate the joyful compassion that maybe that person can't accept. In the situation in Dothan here, with the little boy and the gunman got his attention. He got the negatives that he needed to justify staying the victim, stay trapped, to run negative energy. And he failed to imprint his negative experiences. Maybe it was from the abusive past. Maybe it was from the shock and awe of going to war and learning that you can be trained to shoot people, but not necessarily emotionally prepared for the wounding that you psychologically experience. These things weren't really passed on because the community came together and it supported each other, and the little boy, he's going to have memories, but as a whole, he's going to have a pretty good life because people aren't holding him back. There's great celebration. There's great amounts of joy. And that's how I hope the rest of the world can see how to cope with the negative things that are going on. It's how we interpret things, really. I don't know how to translate from one language to another. I don't know how to understand different religious doctrines or cultural changes or political desires. I'm not a person who's interested in all that exterior stuff. You see, I live in the country. It's a different reality. And it's hard for me to actually understand what it's like to live where there's more people than trees. But that's okay. It's how you interpret it. And I find that living in different places creates different dynamics and different understandings and different emotional and energetic needs. I've noticed, because I watch animals, that's what my discipline is to work with animals, that there's a difference between a dog who has to go outside and be walked on a leash and a dog who is outside who doesn't need to walk on a leash. There's an emotional difference between those two animals. When the dog's not on the leash, in the city, he's in danger. And his owner goes into a state of fear. My dog's loose, he could get killed. If he doesn't understand the environment around him. And what do you do? Do you breathe or do you stop breathing? That determines the outcome of your runaway dog. Do you panic? Or do you logically understand how to bring your dog back to you? Whether it's by sitting down on the ground and calling him like you have a treat? Or do you run after him and make it a game and then turn around and run away and see if he follows you? There's all kinds of different ways to change the dynamics of fear. The first thing you have to do is breathe. See, out in the country, it's kind of the reverse. Yeah, the other night, there was a solitary howl in the emptiness. There was a lone coyote standing up on the rise of the hill. And my dog, she scratched on the door and said, "Hey, do you think you could come out here for a minute? There's something not quite right." And of course, I go out, sit on the front porch. My dog barks and howls back at the coyote. He howls and howls with a hollowness in his voice. Dog looks at me and she does this high-pitched yip, like, "Would you come out here? You're the human. You're supposed to be able to figure all this out." So I go out and my dog barks. She looks at me. And so I bark. And she looks at me, had the curious look in her eye, like, "That's not how you bark. You bark by throwing your voice instead of pushing it." So I went, "Whoa." And the next thing you know, the coyote didn't howl. He barked. And my dog, Jordan, perked up her ears, and she went, "Oh, you can talk coyote." And I was like, "I haven't got a clue what I'm saying to him. I just hope he doesn't come home to the front yard here." So she barked again and looked at me, and I, "Oof." And then she howled. She looked at me, so I howled. And the coyote responded. He howled back. And this went on for about 5 minutes. And then he was gone. Vanished. The darkness was still. There was nothing visible. I went in the house. I was trying to figure out, really, what was going on. You can see, inside, I'm kind of concerned because I worry about all the animals on the farm. I don't want the coyotes to come in and hunt down baby goats. And I don't want the coyotes running the herds of horses. So I get worried about it when the coyotes are around. But that night was really different because there was one coyote. And when he howled, some of the other coyotes called back. So my fear inside to be the protector of my farm, to make sure my animals were well looked after and not in danger, kind of overrode that very important moment. And it wasn't until the other day that I realized that that coyote was saying goodbye. He wasn't saying, hi, I'm here, and this is my territory, and you guys need to kind of create space, because coyote knowledge is much smarter than me. No, that's not what he was saying. He was saying goodbye. Take a breath. I'll be right back with Ecologic Radio. Touch with me, you can write me at ecologicradio@gmail.com and I will get back to you. If you're interested in learning more about what I do, you can find me on Facebook. You look up the Balanced Horse Project on Facebook. Or you can find it as thebalancedhorseproject.net. And guess what? I will always be available to help you if you have questions with your animals. If you're interested in learning more about natural forms of rebirthing animals, or if you just want to talk, look me up. Don't be a stranger. Just think, I was afraid of coyotes. And really, I had good reason to be afraid of the coyotes. Because there's a farmer, about 2 miles from me, and he raises sheep. And coyotes go over, in the last year, it cost that man about $2,000. Yeah, they've gone in and they've pulled down some of his animals and ate them. And yet, the same pack of coyotes live down along the creek bed, the back end of our property. And that den of coyotes has been there for, according to my neighbors, over 100 years. And I've been afraid that the pack of coyotes would do the same thing to my organic goats as they were doing to my neighbor's sheep. And you see, since I think the middle of January, the coyotes have come to our farm and denned themselves up. And I realized the other day that the coyote was howling to say goodbye because they don't need to be here anymore. They came here, they used their ancestral home, they gave birth to their pups, they raised their family, safe place, lots of food. And now the pups are weaned, and the pack is ready to take them out and show them how to go hunt down in the swamps across the farmer's fields for the summer. You see, there's a fresh crop of armadillos and possums and all kinds of animals that they like to eat. And so, the other night, in the darkness, the male coyote was singing to my dog to say goodbye. This is my home. Don't forget me. I'll be back. You don't have to have any fear, no more worries. I won't bother you for at least until the fall. If I had only known that when I was howling on the front step of the house, maybe I would have put a little more joy into my voice. Because for that animal, it was a big moment. He was happy. His family was doing well. And they were doing what coyotes do. But instead, I wasn't sure what to think. I couldn't interpret the situation. Because I let my fear, my emotions, get in my way. So as we go through the moments of social calamity, if we keep listening to fear, we forget that there's another way of interpreting the situation. And if we change how we interpret the situation, maybe we could change the outcomes. Oh, I know it sounds so simple, and I don't mean to minimize people's situations. I don't mean to minimize the actual existence of physical pain. That's not the point. The point is to see if we can get joy, counteract, to neutralize the pain that a lot of us feel. I mean, it's a pretty helpless situation to live in a city and know that there's all this stuff going on around you. And the only thing you can do is protect yourself, protect your family, try to be proactive and prevent any calamities from happening. And if they do, make yourself available. And it's great to do that. I think it's a good thing to make yourself available. But as I said, don't get pulled into the emotion. Because if you do, you lose sight. Just think of all the doctors and the nurses who deal with the physical pain. Just think of the firemen, the policemen, government administrators that have to go down and deal with all these disasters. Do they take it home with them? Some of them do. Some of them do not understand that it's not enough to not feel. It's not enough to isolate that person. Say, okay, that person had a bad day. That person exposed to a bomb. they don't have their limbs, you may never walk again. It's not enough to disassociate. Say, oh, it's just that person's reality. No, because you see, we're, according to science, according to mathematics, we're all connected. So what that person's reality is actually going to affect who you are. And that's why sometimes people that are in the rescue services, in the medical field, sometimes if you're a soldier that's gone to war, you have this pain stuck inside. So, just take a moment of compassion and joy in your heart. And remember to come back. Listen, Ethologic Radio. I'll talk to you soon. Take care of yourself. Love y'all. Bye.